Could we again kneel to pray before we start? Oh, Father in heaven, we do call upon you again this morning. Thank you for how you've been here and how you have been feeding us. Thank you, Lord, for the inspiration. Oh, God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would somehow come and go beyond the words of the messages that are preached. Send your Holy Spirit into all of our hearts and draw us to yourself. I ask, Lord, that there would be things that would burn in our hearts and that would change us. There would be deep commitments that would come. There would be repentance and humility. Help us, O God, in this day. In this our generation, please help us, Lord. We look to you in faith and confidence and trust. Thank you, God, for being such a good God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you want to open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Timothy, I want to read a couple verses. Chapter 3, for us to consider in the beginning here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting to read in verse 1, it says these words, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." How many believe we're in the last days? "In the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Well, we see those things. "Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." I'd like for us to just consider that fact that we are living in the last days. And as I look at some of the things that have been happening around us in the last 10 years, it feels like there's this wave coming. This wave coming to overtake the Christians. And many have fallen. If you remember a couple of years ago when that tsunami was, and many of you probably saw pictures, but there is this tidal wave that came in off the ocean. And some people knew it was coming, and they ran for the higher ground. There's others that went into their houses, went as high as they could. But this wave came, and many people lost their lives. That's what feels like is happening around us. So I'd like for us to, with that in mind, consider the days we're living in and stand for what is true and right and good. Now, there's a concept I'd like for us to get in the beginning here. And that is, all of God's Word and God's laws are liberating. Many times, we have this feeling that, God's laws, it's a burden to us. Many Christians feel that way. That God's laws are a burden on us. Well, I'd like to just tell you that that's a lie. That's a lie. God's laws liberate us so that we can serve God better. And, there's a lot of principles and laws and things in God's Word that we look at and we say, we wonder why God put that in there, right? And we don't understand it. Well, I'd just like to share a little illustration with you just to help you understand one little one on the issue of pride. Okay? You know, I'm sure that none of us in here wants anything to do with pride. I know that. You know, you don't want to be proud. You know, you want to be humble. Well, but what happens is, at times we find ourselves having pride. We find ourselves there. And it's a burden. That's actually it. You know, the Bible says God resists the proud. If we have pride in our hearts, God is pushing us away. God resists us, right? Okay. I want this balloon to be an illustration of pride. You know what happens to our head sometimes? Our head gets a little bit big, okay? And there are things in our life, and yesterday we looked at some of those principles in God's Word, and He wanted us to make application, you know, God wants us to make application to those in our personal lives. But this is what happens with pride in our lives. If we have pride, God is there resisting us. And sometimes we don't realize what we're doing. But what we do is we'll get involved in some things that is really not right. And I'm just going to mention a couple things here. And you follow my train of thought, okay? Specifically, to make this point, of God's laws bring freedom and not bondage. And if we disobey, it brings bondage. Now consider with me, specifically on the part of self-adornment, how that escalates pride within us. Okay? A young man, do you think, you know, we talked about yesterday about the spiked hair or the mop hair and all that. Don't you think that if you do some of that, you're blowing up your balloon a bit? Right? It blows it up a little bit more. Young men, don't you think if you, get that pair of sharp pointed cowboy boots that sort of in style, you're just putting another poof into your balloon? Don't you think that young ladies, if you add those extras on your clothes that don't really have to be there, it sort of adds another to your balloon of pride, right? And maybe maybe you want to be noticed a little bit more, and so you work on your hair a little bit more and make them a little bit more attractive. You're adding another poof to your balloon that's already there. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know what? You ask the question, what's wrong with my spiritual life? And God's saying, well, just obey my word. And you'll be free. Wouldn't it be a blessing? You know, God wants us to be deflated. God wants us to be deflated so that we can look to Him and Him work through us. But if our head is big with pride, we continue to do these things, God can't work. Actually, He's resisting us. So there's a reason that God says, just do what I say in my word. Because it liberates us in our walk with God. It brings freedom. And many times we don't understand what all is behind it. You know, this is a little example here. Many times we don't understand what all is behind it. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. My point is, if the Bible says it, just simply do it because God has a reason for it.
Right.
And it's a benefit for us to obey Him so that we can walk with Him more closely. Does that make sense? It's liberating. And others look on and say, oh, that's bondage. You guys, you're so drab and you're so whatever. You're living in bondage. They don't know that they're the ones in bondage. It's turned around. Well, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. I'd also like for us to consider, I have a couple of illustrations here. I'd like for us to consider that many Christians live a very substandard Christian life. And a lot of it has to do on what they feed on day after day after day, and what activities they involve themselves in. A lot of Christians are that way. It's interesting. Maybe you can't see what I have here. But in this bucket right here, I've got scraps. See that? There's some banana peelings and potato peelings, and there's some orange peelings and various things in here. And it really doesn't look that great, does it? That doesn't look all that great. If I'd have to, I could maybe eat that, but I'd rather not. Right here, I've got a cheeseburger and fries. Okay? Cheeseburger and fries. And that's not a bad meal. I had Brother Jerry, I was going to stop in this morning, and I totally forgot till I was here, and Brother Jerry ran over and got it for me. This cheeseburger, I believe he gave 99 cents for this cheeseburger and some fries. That's not a bad meal, right? It all depends what you think of McDonald's. You know, the fries will make you fatten up a bit, and I don't know, I tend to, you know, to steer away from it. But look at this. This is a steak that I purchased at home before I came. And I went to a local butcher shop and just got a bare piece of steak here. And they gave $11.30 for this uncooked steak. And it's a pretty good one, by the way. Fresh steak with some salad, good garden salad. And a potato, some sour cream on it, some good veggies. And this will make you an excellent meal, right? In fact, I was back there and Brother Laverne, I had him cook this thing for me. And if you would have been outside, you know, a half hour ago, he was outside and he had the grill going and he cooked this steak for me this morning. And when he brought it in here, He had me test it. And if you've ever cooked steak, this is top notch. This is one of the best steaks that you can buy. It's a great steak. Look at it. It's good stuff. And if I give you the opportunity to pick between these three dishes, I don't think you'd hesitate a whole lot, you know, which way you go. This is without question the best. Without question, this is the best. I have some cows at home, some beef cows, and it's amazing. Because they're beef cows and they're not milking, we have them running out in the pasture, and during the winter here, we have snow on the ground. And, you know, of course, they need some hay. And so we have two different kinds of hay. We've got some just plain, fairly inexpensive hay that the relative feed value is around 85%. Then we've got some baleage that it tests around 110 relative feed value. And would you believe it, those cows, if I put a bale of each in front of them, they won't touch that cheaper hay. They won't touch it. In fact, they'll stand there and moo all day long without touching that less expensive hay. What do you think that is? Isn't it because they have a preference? They have a preference. They've had the better stuff. They've had the better stuff, and for that reason, they won't go to the more inexpensive stuff unless they just have to. If I don't give them the better stuff for 2 or 3 days, then they'll start eating the other stuff when they get really hungry. But prior to that, they'll stand there mooing all day long because they want the better stuff. Well, I'd like for us to consider the fact that there's a lot of Christians that will feed on and do things out of this bucket rather than the good stuff. Can anyone tell me why? Yes. Less discipline, okay. They think it's better than anything else, okay. What did you have in mind?
They're in bondage.
They're in bondage, okay. Yes?
They live more like they want to.
Yes?
It's very easy to obtain.
Mm-hmm. Yes? That's right. I like that one. Yes.
It's a fun thing.
We as humans have a lower nature, don't we? We do. We have a lower nature. And because we have that lower nature, by default, we will tend to go after this stuff rather than this. Sad to say. Did you realize that? That's sad. Now, we've become born again, and we, by God's grace and power, we have made decisions, and we, the more we exercise ourselves, this is really, I mean, we know this is great stuff. And yet, because of our fallen nature, there is a tendency for us to do this rather than this. God help us. God help us. You know, those cows, yes. That's good. That's good. The steak takes too long to prepare. And here, it's just there. That's good. But isn't that something? I'd like for us to just consider that for a minute. Our fallen nature, unless we distinctly choose otherwise and choose differently, will naturally go toward this rather than this. And that's a sad fact. Now, with being born again by the Spirit of God, our lives have changed. And as we continue to exercise, we get hungry for this. And when we taste this, this isn't very appetizing. Okay? All right? As we exercise ourselves and we draw close to God, this doesn't mean much to us anymore. And we get really hungry for this. But unless we make specific goals, decisions, we will slowly gravitate toward this. This trash. These scraps. And God help us, sometimes we do this too. But ultimately, this is what's the good stuff. I was over there, and just to make you hungry, I was over there this morning, and I had 2 bites, and I realized I better stop or I'm going to eat it all. And I won't have any illustration anymore. Isn't that something? Well, we like a good grass fed organic steak with a good garden salad to go. We like that. That's the ultimate. And a good potato and some salad, oh, that's great stuff. And then you have your McDonald's cheeseburger and some fries that make you a little fat. I mean, that's, you know, it doesn't feed very well, but it's edible, and the other stuff is trash. Like for us to just consider, one of the things that I feel is making inroads in our churches, and I appreciate it, Brother Dean, what he was sharing this morning, because it just sort of opened the door. I believe that there is a lot of Protestant influence and thinking coming into our churches and our way of thinking and influencing us. I believe that. And it comes in various different ways. But I'd like to just, first of all, go down through a little list here and make some specific statements on some things for us to consider about Protestant Christianity, of some of the differences that are there. And they're very distinct. There's the Protestants. There's clearly no two kingdom view. They don't believe in the two kingdoms. They very quickly take the sword and are involved in politics and all those things. There's a merging. There's not a two kingdom principle. There's not a separation of church and state. Many will accept divorce and remarriage. Many will accept and receive people who are divorced and remarried. There is no church group consciousness. There's a very strong individualistic view of myself. I want to listen to good preaching, and I want to be inspired, and then I'm going to go home and you just let me alone. I want to do what I want to do. Rather than a working brotherhood that, if you have a concern about me, I want you to come and share that concern. And I want to open my heart to God and to you. There's very little of that. A consciousness of working together as a brotherhood. And accountability. There's very little of those things. There's a great acceptance of war versus non-resistance. The dress. There's dress for both men and women that are not appropriate for God-fearing Christians. And one of the biggest things that Brother Dean also mentioned here is there's no practical application to Bible principles. We've run into these things so often, even in outreach and different people who we meet. There are men who say, yes, I'm a Christian. But when we start opening the Bible and saying, you know, well, how do we apply this practically? They will tell me, well, we understand that you obey the Bible practically, but we just believe Jesus. We just believe Jesus. And they say, you know, we don't obey the Bible practically like you do. They'll tell you that. What is sad to me is if you go into our bookstores, there's literally hundreds and thousands of books on the bookshelves from Protestant writers. And I would to God that we had a lot of writers ourselves. I believe there's a weakness in that. I say that shamefully because I'm not a writer. I can barely put my words on paper. I can speak, but it's hard to put it on paper. But I'd like to just say that there's a lot of books out there, and there's a lot of things that are happening, that there's an influence that's coming in among us. And as I look at the last 10 years of our church experience for many of us. I believe a lot of it has come from Protestant influence, the confusion that has come for many youth. I believe that. I really do. And for that reason, I'd like to just lift this up and just say, we have to somehow be careful. I'm not saying we can't read any Protestant books. But I had a young man in our church a number of years ago who read, I'll just say the name. He listened to a lot of messages by Zach Poonen, and I have appreciation for him. I believe he loves God. I really believe that. And, you know, I believe God has used him in many ways. But this brother in our local fellowship, after listening to him for some time, he came and told me. He said, Mark, he said, I know Zach doesn't believe in this and this and this and this. I know that. But he said, I don't feel like I have to put any net or screen or try to discern where Zach's at. Zach is so far beyond me spiritually that I feel like I can just accept what he believes and what he says. Today, that brother that I'm talking about has moved on and away from God's principles that we're talking about here. That's dangerous, isn't it? So I guess what I'm trying to communicate here is, I'm not saying get rid of all your books that are Protestant, but I'm saying you should gravitate toward the books that you know to be good and solid reading material. The books that you know have this in it. There will be books. They might not be here. But this is where many of them are. Okay? Cheeseburger and some fries. You get some good food out of it. But there's you heard the term, eat what's good and spit out the bones. We've heard that term many times, and I'm saying that there is, you can do some of that at times, okay? But we have to be careful and know what we're reading, young people. You're in a very impressionable time of life. And if you know that you're reading some of this type of material and listening to preachers that you know are at a different place with their values and at a different place, we have to use extreme care. We have to. If we don't, we'll end up being here before long. We need to make specific moves to be eating the steak. We need to make specific choices to do that. This does not happen naturally in our spiritual life, but it happens because we make decisions that way. These good, organic, grass-fed beef steak and a garden salad and a potato to go along with it. That's pretty nice, isn't it? Or you can choose to feed yourself on fries and a cheeseburger. Or, many eat out of this as well. Here some time ago at home, I preached a message on the Christian radio. And I don't know with the crowd we have here if there are people here who listen to the Christian radio or not. I hope you don't. But I would like to just tell you that the Christian radio, at best, is this. At best. And a lot of it is this. I'm not talking about country music. I'm not talking about the talk shows. I get rid of all that. If there's any of you listening to that garbage, get rid of that stuff. I'm specifically just zeroing in on the Christian radio. The Christian radio at best is this. At best is this. And a lot of it is this. Why do we eat scrap? Why do we eat a cheeseburger and fries? Rather than going out back here on the shelf and grabbing some good, solid preaching messages. And why don't we get books that are being promoted by Alan and various others here that are, are good, solid reading material that'll bless and edify your life? And guess what you'll become? You will become what you feed on, without question. The athletes, when they run, they eat special foods. Guess why? Because it affects them. Well, it's that way in our spiritual life as well. Let me just quickly run down through here on some of the things that the radio preacher, some of the things that are on there. And I won't spend much time here. But consider with me, even James Dobson, they tell me that he doesn't believe in the six-day creation. There's radio stations like Moody Radio and Unshackled and various ones. On there, there's a lot of that contemporary Christian music. That's basically all that's on there on the music side. That contemporary Christian music that we were talking about yesterday. It's that kind of music that you listen to. On the preaching side, you will have these preachers that you listen to, and it sounds very inspiring, and in fact, a lot of times it is. But what happens is we gravitate, we listen, they've been trained how to preach. They've been trained how to keep your attention. They know what to say that'll make your ears tickle. And they know they wouldn't have a job on that radio station if they would be exposing and preaching the real truth in the Bible. If they would be doing that, they wouldn't have a job. They wouldn't be on the radio. People wouldn't listen to them. Here's some of the things that come across. Christian America. Christian politics. Go to the polls and make a difference in America. Lots of psychology. Pro-war attitude. Are boys going out there and fighting? As well as there's a lot of jokes. They view the covering as legalism. There's various times that those questions come on. What about 1 Corinthians 11? Oh, that's legalism. There's a push for protesting abortion. As Christians, we don't do those things. But we don't get involved in the big protests and all those kind of things. Voting. Promoting sports. Testimonies of men and women who God changed their lives. And, they were divorced and they got remarried, and how God changed their lives, and oh, they have such a beautiful marriage. These things are on there. Eternal security. Worldly Christianity. The Bible says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Brothers and sisters, I would like to just encourage you, young men and young women, if you want the real stuff, if you want this good, grass-fed, organic steak with a salad and a good potato to go with it. If you want this, you feed yourself to a diet of reading the Bible, reading good, solid books that you know are without question. You go back here in the shelf and you fill your rooms with these good CDs and tapes, and you listen to them, and you let the Word of God dwell in you richly. It'll make a difference in your life. It will. Guaranteed. It will. But many have succumbed to this. Many have. When I was preparing for the message for at home, I went on and I listened to some of the stories and different things that are on there. And on the, I've heard people tell me that, oh, Unshackled has such good testimonies. They've got good testimonies of people, how they got converted. And the first one I listened to, it was a quite amazing story, and I was blessed by how the man got converted. But in the middle of all that story, you know, the whole thing was dramatized, and part of it, you'd hear this drunk in the background, and you'd hear gunshots, and you'd hear different stuff, and finally this drunk got converted. And in the end, after the whole thing was all over, then they shared, okay, now if you're there and God is speaking to your life, they call it, pray this little prayer after me. That's what they said. Pray this little prayer after me. Prayed. And then they said, okay, now, if you've done this, you need to believe that Jesus is, that you're now a child of God. Where's that in Scripture? Where's that in Scripture? The Bible says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. It doesn't say, pray this little prayer. And yet, people listen to those kind of things. It's the Christian radio. People listen to those kind of stories day after day. And let me tell you, they will affect the way you think, the way you believe. They will. Why not? Why not get a hold of some good stuff? Why not get a hold of some of this good tasting stuff that'll affect you and strengthen you in your Christian walk? God will help you. It'll change your diet. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're feeding on these days. But I like to tell you, those things will make a difference. Without question. If you have, I'd like to encourage you, if you have CDs and if you have books in your home and in your possession that you know are this, I would ask you in Jesus' name, go get rid of them. Please do that. Please do that. You've got books, radio, whatever it might be that you're listening to or filling your mind with that's not good. And by the way, there's a lot of those books, a lot of drama, a lot of stories, a lot of mystery books, and a lot of, those trashy books. Men and ladies, I'd ask you, it's trash. You eat that, you'll die. You'll die. You'll die spiritually. Get rid of that stuff. If you've got some that come into this category, I would encourage you that you be very, very careful. And if that's your main diet, you need to change it and get rid of a bunch of it. Make that what you listen to, what you read, is definitely without question this good, grass-fed, organic steak with a good potato and sour cream and fries. Make you strong. Please do it. If you've got to change your complete bookshelf or whatever you have at home, make sure you have this. Please do. Please do. You know, you remember what we were talking about in the beginning? You might think that what I'm preaching is bondage. But it's one of God's principles. And if you obey it, it'll liberate you. It'll bring you freedom. It'll free you to serve God in a more pure and and obey Him with freedom. And it'll strengthen your Christian walk. I'd like to just mention a couple other things here that are a snare, that I believe are a snare to us today. I believe that a lot of the social networking that we have among us today is making parents and youth lose out in their spiritual walk with God. Try to hear me out if you have any of this. Let me just use Facebook as an example, or Google Plus. I would like to just encourage you, if you have got any of that, I would encourage you to close your accounts and get rid of them. We, at home, we had a number of our youth that were involved in some of these things. And let me tell you what happened. We had great concern, and among our local people at home, there is a decision made that we have gotten rid of it. There's numerous ones that have closed their accounts and gotten rid of it. And this is what they tell me. Different ones have told me this. They said, you know, this is what would happen. With Facebook, Google Plus, they tell me this. They said, when I had Facebook, you know, I was friends with all these different people out there. And there's various people that maybe in years gone by we were close friends, but now they have moved on the way of the world, if you may call it that. You know what I'm talking about? They've moved on to a more loose Protestant Christianity. And they said, I would go on my Facebook, and as I would read their posts, what they would post on their Facebook and Google Plus and on their blogs, when I would read that, I would, you know, there are such spiritual quotes that, you know, that they post. And then I would think of their life and how they're living. And they said, it was confusing. They said, I was confused. It brought confusion to my life. I wanted to please them. I wanted to post, you know, things that would please them. And I would read theirs, and it just didn't make sense. You know what I'm talking about? It would bring confusion. And you might say, well, I've got some good contacts on Facebook or on Google or on Google Plus. You might say that. And I know that in and itself, Facebook or Google Plus, you know, it's just like anything else. It can be used for good. And I'm not saying that there's not people that use it for good. But what we discovered is that there are many a youth and many a person that is getting confused and carried away by that tool. And it's actually the fruit that's coming from it is not good. You know what I mean? Sometimes you look at things and you say, well, you know, just like, you know, Google or yeah, Google Plus or Facebook, you know, what's really wrong with it? But as we looked at, you know, different principles, you know, that we have at yesterday. We'll look at various things. And then we saw the fruit that was coming from it. We realized it's not good fruit. So what kind of a Christian do you want to be? Loose, nominal Christian, slowly moving into all the stuff that you see? Or do you want to be sold out 100% for Jesus Christ and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus day by day by day? I would encourage you, youth, if any of you are involved with that, and I'll also just put in there texting, we text a little bit, my wife and I and various brothers, if there's a need to text them, we do some of that. But let me just tell you, I feel it's wrong for youth to be sitting texting, just for the sake of gabbing and talking. It destroys and it tears down. People tell me that, I text things to other people that I wouldn't dare say it with my mouth. It's actually breaking down relationships. It's breaking down morals. It's breaking down morals between boys and girls. I'd encourage you, young men, young lady, don't you be texting between boys and girls. Don't be doing that at all. Don't do that. If there's a need for you ladies to be texting together, and then you have your parents and your church's blessing to do that, that's one thing. But some of those things that I believe the technology that we have in America today is largely the reason why there's such a fast moving, why things are moving so fast among us. I believe that. It doesn't say that we can't make use of any of that technology. I'm not trying to say that. But I am saying we have got to look at the fruit that it's producing. And if some of these things are not producing good fruit, then we need to get rid of it. We need to get rid of it. Just a week ago, I heard of a Mennonite group of people who there is texting going on between boys and girls in a very horrible, ungodly way, including porn between boys and girls. Let me just tell you, young men and young women, in today's society, you will have access to some of those things quicker than you've ever had before. Porn. Ungodly things. It can be at your fingertips so quick. I would just beg of you, please run away from that stuff. I have talked to men and women who have gotten involved in some of that stuff, and the bondage that it brings is unbelievable. It breaks down the very fabric and core that God has built inside of a man and a woman. the Bible says that if a man commit adultery, he sins against his own body. And I believe that porn is part of that. And there's fabrics that break down inside of us when we do some of those things. That if you ever experience it, you know what I'm talking about. And I just beg of you, run away from that stuff. It's garbage to the core. It's garbage to the core. And there's something inside of us that is curious. There's something inside of us that sort of gravitates. It's our flesh that gravitates. We're curious. We like to know. We see something, we want to see more. Let me just give you a warning. Please, run away from anything of that kind. Run away from it. In Jesus' name, please do it. You will save yourself. I know men and women. It's It's not just men. I know men and women in our community that have gotten involved in some of those things, and they've tried and tried and tried to get free from it, and they still haven't gotten free from it. It's utter bondage. Lord, help us. Lord, please help us. Here's some other, what I'm going to call doctrines of devils. You know, the Bible talks about doctrines of devils. I want to give you a couple. These are things that I hear thrown around. They're little cliches, I call them, that are thrown around at times. And they're meant to sort of get you off their back, okay? Here's one of them. That's just legalistic. Right, have you heard that term? Yeah? That's just legalistic. Let me just tell you that that's a cliche, or that's a little phrase that people throw out at you so you don't have anything to say. But it's not the truth. There is such a thing, but that's not the truth. Here's another one. God is only concerned about my heart. Okay? These are what I call doctrines of devils. They sound spiritual, but they're from the devil. Here's another one. You just have a religious spirit. You heard that one? You just have a religious spirit. Brother, you know, they throw these things out at you to try to sort of shut you up and you know, and justify themselves. You know, that's what it's all about. Now, here's another one. And this is an utter perversion of the truth. But there's this little, you know, the Bible teaches that all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's true, right? The Bible says that. I had a lady, and it's actually a relative of mine. She says that, you know, I am not facing a lot of persecution right now, so I must be doing something wrong. So what she did is she took off her covering. She started wearing a skirt and a blouse, very tight, form-fitting clothes, so that she would get persecution from the rest of us as a family. Isn't that perversion? That's utter confusion. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Here's another one. There's a man. I know him real well. One day he comes to work and he tells the others at work, you know, I'm just convicted. He said, I want to be honest. And he said, I really don't have any convictions not to wear shorts. He said, I really don't have any conviction not to wear shorts. And he said, in fact, I feel I'm making just a mockery out of myself, and it's only the fear of man, you know, that's why I'm not doing it. So he started wearing shorts. Because he didn't want to be controlled by the fear of man. And so he started wearing shorts. Isn't that utter confusion? God help us. God help us. Those are doctrines of devils, I will say. Here's another one. And you might not have it in your community, or maybe you do, but there are certain groups, and specifically Nelson Koblenz is one of the main ones that does it in our area. But he will bring a ventriloquist along to his gospel revival meetings. You know what a ventriloquist is? One of those, you know, they do the puppet thing and all that kind of thing. They bring the ventriloquist. This is a, quote, Christian ventriloquist. And they'll bring him up on stage. And they'll have a big show there to, you know, to entertain the people and to bring the crowd in and all that. And they'll do this show thing to draw the crowd. And everyone's laughing and rolling and, you know, he's throwing his voice around and, I mean, it's horrible. And then they get up and preach. God forbid. But these things are happening in, quote, Mennonite churches that even wear coverings yet. God help us. It's time for me to close, but I really do want to just make a couple comments yet, if I could. There's something that I feel is a major problem in many churches today with youth. And I don't know where you are today, but I feel there's a lot of youth that are in rebellion to authority. And if I say rebellion, that's a strong word, and you might feel like, oh, I'm not in rebellion to my authorities, my dad, the church leaders. But I would like to ask you a question, young people. Are you gladly giving yourself to your authorities, whether it's your parents or whether it's your church leaders or whether it's to the local authorities running the speed limits or over the speed limits? What's your attitude toward President Obama? What kind of attitudes do you have? Are you youth when your parents ask you to do something? Are you making a choice that I don't understand why they're asking me to do that? Maybe someday I will, but they're my parents. I'll just give myself. And are you giving yourself to your parents that way with a cheerful attitude? Or are you doing things behind your parents' back? Or maybe not even behind your parents' back, you're just doing things that you know they don't approve of. I'd like to just encourage you, consider that. The Bible says that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. You can today, maybe there are things that you know right now that you're doing that you don't have your parents' blessing on. If that's the case, I would encourage you to repent of that today. To make a decision to tonight or whenever you come home. Obviously, you won't be coming home tonight. But after the meetings you come home, I encourage you to go to your parents and just tell Mom and Dad, I've been doing these things and I know you don't approve of it. And I'm making a decision to submit myself to you because I'm in your home. Please teach me. I encourage you to do that. You can either go for the best or go for the trash. Going home and submitting yourself willingly to your parents. Let me ask you a question. What do you think you would desire as a parent from your children if you were in your parents' shoes? Don't you desire children that would gladly open their heart and follow your guidance? They're not asking things of you that are not scriptural, not right. Maybe there's just some preferences that you have, and you're I just encourage you to do that, you young people. You can make the decision right now. You can make that decision that you will go home. You know what the issues are. You know what you're doing that mom and dad don't 100% agree and support with. I'd encourage you to make a decision to just go home. Apologize. Ask for forgiveness from God and your parents. Clear your heart. Walk in humility. If you do that now, and if you cultivate those things, you can continue to walk with God, and God can bless you when you get married. God can bless you in those very same things. One more thing I'd just like to comment on. There is a question that had come in that I'd just like to do the principal application thing here. And that was in regards to a lady's head covering. The question came in, how far back should it be? Now, I thought it'd be better if it'd be how far up should it be. But can you just give me some principles here on the principle of the head covering? What are some principles, like we did yesterday, on the head covering? Who can give me the first principle? Okay. Do you have a specific on that? What does it tell us to do? Okay. Cover the head. Cover the head. All right. Is there more? More principles that applies to the head covering. Covering the glory. Yes, it does. Covering now, let me explain that one a little bit. The Bible says that a woman's hair is her glory. I like to explain it this way. I come to the Bible school here, and I go various places to preach or whatever. One thing that bothers me is people look at me and they hear me preach and all that. Now, that's great. But they don't really see me till they see my wife, right? They don't really see me. Why? You know, the Bible says that she's my glory. Okay? Right? So, she's my glory, and I love her. She's a very dear wife, and I wish, you know, some of you haven't met her yet. You're missing out. Yes?
The principle, maybe, it is considered an ordinance.
Good.
And communion is in the same chapter. It says ordinances, plural, and it talks about head covering in communion.
Good.
But it's not just symbolic. I think that's it.
Good. It's not symbolic. It's not symbolic. It's an ordinance. And there's a big difference between it being... Do you have any thoughts with that?
Yes, just like baptism. Sometimes baptism is less symbolic. Well, we do believe that the actual application of baptism is that something happens. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The same way that
that's good. We believe in baptism that it's an outward expression of what happens on the inside, but there's also something that happens on the inside. It's both. And so you all wearing your head covering, it not only is an outward expression of being under authority, but it also does something. There is something that happens if you obey. So it's an ordinance. Good. That's good. Okay, power on the head. Okay, is there other things that should come in here? Other, yes. Sign of submission. Sign of submission. Okay. Others? Yes? An honor? Okay. All right. Others? Yes? What do we wear? Reason? Hey, do you have any thoughts for that? Because of the angels. That's good. And let me explain that just a little bit. I have some thoughts in there. You know, there can be various thoughts on that specific one. But it says, because of the angels. Did you have some? For protection? It's good. Good. Protection. And I'll also put on there, because of angels. Okay. Okay, let me just share just a little bit on the thing of the angels. This is what I get out of it, and there can be discussion on that. But because of the angels, did you realize that there was a day in heaven when there was a rebellion? And a third of the angels rebelled against Almighty God. And because of their rebellion, God cast a third of the angels out of heaven. And He has a place prepared for them, which is hell. Now consider with me, if a woman chooses to submit to her husband, and the angels look on and say, oh, she's covering her head. She's making a decision to be in subjection to her head. Yes. And God comes, and His added special protection is there because of it. You know, there's various thoughts on all that, but that's some thoughts I have. But it's time to close here, so we can't spend much time here. But application, first of all, cover head. Now, know what it means to cover? Any idea? To cover. Yeah? That's right. It means to cover. Head means head. We need a study Bible for that. And I know specifically, actually there's more principles that we could put on here. Some is that you shouldn't adorn yourself. Some ladies use their covering to adorn themselves, and that's wrong too. Don't use it to adorn yourself. So it should be free of lace and all those kind of goodies. Okay, cover means to cover, and head means head. I'd like to consider this one right here just a little bit, covering the glory. Your hair is your glory, right? The Bible says so. In those verses there, that your hair is your glory. That's one of the reasons why. Actually, if you, maybe you're not aware of this, but hair, a woman's hair is an attraction for a man. And I would just like to just make the application here that if the hair is out in such a way that it is drawing attraction, then it's not covered. If that's a simple way to put it. If your hair is out front in a way that it's an attraction and you're doing stuff with it, it's not covered. And we could say, I'm going to do that, but I believe that's a practical application. If the hair is being, you know, poofed and this and that, you know, to it, and it's actually not covered enough and it's an attraction, then I feel it's not covered. Covering the glory. Yes. Let's make one thing clear. The covering is not a symbol. It's a covering. That's what Alan's point was here. It's an ordinance. It's not a symbol. It's an ordinance. It's meant to do something. Any other thoughts? Maybe some of you other have thoughts on all that. Okay. We'll stop with that. But I would like for us to just think very soberly on all the things that are around us today, the challenges we face today. What are you specifically doing? What are you feeding on? What are you going after? Many Christians are in the dump. There are some that are doing their cheeseburger and fries. They're adding a bunch of fat to it. And there's some. It's among that faithful few, that strand of faithfulness that will day by day feeding on and going after the best. The faithful. That strand of faithfulness down through history. Those men and those women went after this. And I am sure most of you would like to have a taste of this at noon. If you want to, let me know. I'll share it with you. Lord bless you.